Hi, welcome to another episode of the Beyond Blocks podcast, a podcast about PHP, Drupal, open source, and related software development topics. I'm Oliver Davis. Today I'm rejoined again by Jürgen Haas. How are you, Jürgen? Good to speak to you again.
Hey Oliver, nice to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm doing really well. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. Just had to say a couple of technical issues to getting started off with everything. But yeah, I think we're good, and yeah, hopefully everything's going to be all okay. And you were on episode 23 of the podcast before, talking about ECA, but event condition action. And just saying before we started recording, I've seen it come up in a few places recently in a few different Drupal camp talks, and I've seen it in Drupal CMS and a few other places. So yeah, it's been really interesting to see that taking off, or maybe it already was, and I'm just more aware of it now.
No, it is actually becoming more and more popular. That's absolutely true. In the early days, about 3 years ago, I had to do a lot in promoting ECA everywhere. And nowadays it feels like it's almost too much. I'm going to be approached every day about individual things, which is absolutely great. I love it. And what's even more interesting is that only very recently, I found two sponsors who are actually helping me to maintain the module, which makes a big difference to my business life as well. And I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, that sounds brilliant. So is it part of Drupal CMS core, or is it something that because I've seen it on my site as I've been rebuilding it onto Tome. So is it in core for CMS, or is it something I've added in through a recipe?
It is included in several recipes of Drupal CMS. I find it a bit hard to call something core in relation to Drupal CMS. It's Drupal core, which is still there. Then there is a starter recipe, which actually links together all the other components, and ECA is part of that starter recipe, but it's also included in the SEO and a few others, so to do some magic in the background. What's
Okay.
funny though, it's really just ECA as black box, so new users will probably not even recognize that ECA is there. The UI with BPMN is turned on. That was under discussion, but I'm not sure if a lot of users that are the target audience of CMS actually have a big need of using it heavily.
Yeah, I've installed the SEO bundle, SEO recipe. So it's probably, I'd imagine, where I've got it from. And yeah, apologies. I've only really got into CMS, Drupal CMS, a bit more after the Drupal camp we had in England the last couple of months, and then speaking to a few other people on the podcast. So I've not really had much chance to use it. So some of my terminology might be not spot on. So thank you for correcting me there. I think that makes sense. No, interesting times. And yeah, it came up in a situation the other day where we were setting up a project for people to log in, and said we wanted to redirect them to a different page after they logged in. And I went, oh, I know something that does that. So yeah, it's something that's going to be in my tool belt in the future for sure. Very good. So today we want to talk about something slightly different, although there is some overlap, I believe, as well. I might mispronounce this as well, but modular API, is that what we're talking about today?
That's about it. Also in the early days of ECA, I was approached by Cosmic Dreams, Chris Weber, it's his real name. He maintains a lot of things, one of which is the migration ecosystem. And he got excited about the BPMN UI and asked me probably already 3 years ago whether he could use that UI for other things than ECA. And back then, I was not really excited about the idea and said, well, it could probably work, but it would require a separate integration of the BPMN UI into migration. And it's totally unrelated to ECA. But then the same question came back again early this year. And funny enough, it came up from other sources as well, like for example, AI agents. They said, well, it looks like there are some similarities between ECA and AI, and the interface looks nice. Couldn't we actually leverage that? And that made me think again and went back to the drawing board and thought, look, we have designed ECA back then. In a way that ECA and the UI are decoupled from each other. So that is a great starting point to have a look into whether we could reuse that UI part, make that completely generic, knowing nothing about ECA, but working with other areas in Drupal that have to deal with complicated or complex config entities, because that's what it amounts to. ECA and UI, it's only interested in something that allows the user to configure a config entity, which can be very, very complex. Now, AI agents are dealing with the same problem. Because an AI agent needs to have lots of tools attached to it, and each of those tools needs configuration as well. The current config form of an AI agent is a nightmare. You know, it's just so big, nobody's actually able to use that. So that is another use case for it. And still, migration has a lot of config entities as well. So I thought, well, wouldn't it be nice to have something that sits in the middle of all that, talking to what I now call so-called model owners? So a model is a config entity, and somebody owns that entity, which is ECA for ECA models, which is the AI module for AI agent configurations, and with migration as well. So that is the processing part of stuff. They need complex configuration. On the other side of the picture, there is currently one UI, which is BPMN.io, but I've always dreamed of the situation where there might be options, so having something like React Flow or a few others. So I thought if we have a lot of model owners on the left, and we may have three, four, or even more different modelers on the right, wouldn't it be nice if each of them could talk to each other so that the user can choose the UI, which is their preference? And that's when the idea came up to create that unit in the middle and call that the modeler API. So that makes it possible that all the tools on the left have no idea whatsoever what UIs are available on the right, and the other way around. All the transformation between them and the communication and the mapping of supported features and so on and so forth is all handled by the modeler API in the middle.
Yeah, that sounds like a big task. I agree with you completely. It sounds like an ideal situation to be able to reuse the same API from a consistency perspective. But yeah, that sounds like a big task.
It is, but it's already working, and we are planning to launch a 1.0 release together with Drupal 11.2, which is probably only a couple of weeks away from us, if I'm not wrong. So we do have a working solution. It works with all the candidates on the left that I mentioned before, and it's really solid. The fun part really was when we started building that in March, I realized that I still had quite some UI code in ECA although the intention had been right from the beginning to keep that separate. So extracting the final pieces from ECA, moving that into the modeler API was just a great exercise for myself, because I realized that from now on, maintenance of ECA will really only just be about the black box processing. Nothing about how do I interact with the user, how do I make that user friendly, and all those questions that come up every day is now really completely undetached from ECA. And to the same extent, we now have the modeler API and BPMN, which is really only about user interface. Now we have a tool where I can reach out to people who are more experienced in user experience than I am to ask them for help to make that more accessible, maybe looking a bit more beautiful, make it maybe so that colors and other things can be used, keyboard shortcuts and stuff like that. But I don't have to do that myself, because it's now a task which has a specified purpose, and everybody can come in with experience in that area and help out. And this is so great.
Just to recap a little bit, so from memory, BPMN is the UI that's currently in front of ECA, correct? So
That's right. Yeah.
it's almost like the like an if this then that type of UI, I think, if I remember correctly, that you can drag and connect these things together on the front end and build some quite complex logic rules, if I remember the last time we spoke.
Exactly. Yeah. And the abbreviation stands for Business Processing Modeling Notation, which is an industry independent standard to define workflows, if you like.
Yeah, I can definitely see how something like that would be used or would be useful for something like an AI configuration. Like, yeah, or in a very sort of ECA slash rules type of way. But that makes complete sense to me. And you know, being a sort of a Linux person, you know, that's the idea is you've got lots of smaller software projects that work that don't do much independently, but when you chain them together, they become very powerful. But yeah, it makes that maintenance of them a lot easier because they're all their own smaller projects, not all one big monolithic project.
Yeah, that's so true. And I'm excited because not only in the area that I work in, when I look at the Drupal project and the community, it feels like over the last 1 or 2 years, we have changed how we approach problems or challenges like that. And I see a lot of attempts where building blocks, modules, themes, whatever, are created in a way that they can be chained together with other things. And agencies now seem to be collaborating much more on the solution space than I've seen that before. And I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that before where different agencies will come up with the different solutions to the same problem. So if you're right and there's a lot more collaboration happening, then that's only a good thing in my opinion. Yeah, I'm just having a look at the modeler API project page right now. And yeah, modular API provides an API for modules like ECA, Migrate, AI agents and others to allow modules to utilize modules like BPMIO that we've talked about, and maybe others to build diagrams of their components, such as plugins to write them back into module-specific config entities. Yeah, lots of words in there. But there's yeah, a really nice diagram underneath. And yeah, I think when I've looked at this, and then also looked at Drupal Remote Desktop briefly, I think they're things, but two things that have caught my attention is the like the flow chart like this, but also I think DRD has like a glossary and some di architecture diagrams and everything. So That attention to detail is a big plus, a big tick, in my opinion. That's been done. Yeah, and that's I guess that's what you're just describing. It's got ECA, it's got Migrate, it's got AI agents on the left, and then BPM, and the Node-RED. What's Node-RED? Is that another UI tool? Is it
Node-RED is
less?
another open source UI that allows for chaining objects together into kind of a workflow. There is now a more widely known one, which is N8N, which is a product used in the AI space a lot. But people only just recently realized that it appears to be open source, but it isn't really to the full extent. But what people like about it is the look and feel, which is a bit more modern than what BPMN provides. So maybe we're gonna develop something which is like N8N. But I also know there are people currently working on a React Flow based modeler, which is already working together with the modeler API, but it's not yet at a stage where it could be tested. But it sounds like we can hold our breath for that to be released pretty soon. And following that, I even have a personal dream. Like, if we think about what's happening UI-wise in Drupal core, there is Experience Builder. And what Experience Builder does, they do have components on the left in a panel. They have a canvas in the middle of the screen for designing a page, and they have a property panel on the right where they can, whichever object is selected on the page canvas, can be configured in the property panel on the right. Now, funny enough, those three areas are exactly the same what we have in BPMN as well. We have a canvas, we have a components list, and we have a property panel. Now, wouldn't it be nice if Experience Builder could suddenly become a front end for modeler API as well? And I think that's not far off. I'm holding back with implementation just yet because Experience Builder is in rapid development. So whatever we do now may have to change soon again. But once that stabilizes, I think this is going to be an interesting idea because also end users, once they learn Experience Builder to create landing pages, if they could use the same interface to create automations on their website as well, I think that would be received very well by end users.
Yeah, definitely. The more consistent we can make that for end users, the better. Right? It's going to be, instead of giving them a different UI or a different set of buttons or whatever the case may be. Yeah, if you can reuse what they already know, then yeah, that's going to be easier for people to work on, and I would imagine potentially less code. You're not having to write different user interfaces on the front. So I assume modular API is not, well, actually coming back to my earlier thoughts about breaking down modules into smaller bits and smaller pieces, like Composer, I guess, is the thing that pulls all this together. So I can imagine trying to do this in the days where you'd have to drush DL and just download modules that you needed, and then yeah, you'd need Path Auto, and then you had to do a drush DL for token or whatever as well. Like you had to do the dependency stuff manually yourself, whereas yeah, I guess with now we're in the composer era, you just say I want a composer require a module, and it's going to find those dependencies for you, and so you don't need to worry about it. So yeah, I think that enables this type of smaller module piecing together architecture, for want of a more technical phrase. But yeah, I would assume modular API then isn't something. You're maybe going to say Composer required modular API. Is that, or I'd assume it's going to be added as a dependency to something like ECA or Migrate or something, or am I misunderstanding?
Well, that's an interesting one. Yes, dependency management with Composer is much, much easier than before. When we come to that mix of modules that we just talked about, ECA does not have a hard dependency on modeler API because ECA can operate on live sites without a UI component to it. Think about it that maybe an agency is creating all the setup for their clients. And they use the modeler API to do that or other parts. And when they deploy that to the live side of the client, this is where they don't need the modeler API any longer. In fact, the client could break the site easily if they had access to all those configuration parts of the site. So the agency may decide deliberately not to deploy modeler API or other components. That's why ECA does not declare a dependency on modeler API. It's the other way around. BPMN, which is the UI tool, can only work if also modeler API is in place. So BPMN has a dependency on it. But that brings me to the fact that there is a Drupal-specific enhancement which makes composer dependency management even more attractive, and that's recipes. Like we can provide a recipe that comes with a composer JSON that declares all the dependency like modeler API, BPMN IO, AI agents, and ECA, and maybe migrate as well. And then not only does it pull all the modules into your Drupal site, you can also come up with a default configuration. Let's say, for example, for a developer who has a different need for UI configuration than, for example, a site builder. And that can be achieved with recipes.
Yeah, I feel like I'm scratching the surface of recipes. I think the only one I've really installed, I've installed SEO tools on mine, as I said, if I moved, as I've been moving over to Tome. But I think that's probably the most I've really used it for. I did see a good talk about it at Drupal Camp England recently, and then Gareth Alexander's come on the show and did episode 29. We talked a little bit about recipes and a bit more about his talk, but yeah, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface around what recipes can really do. And yeah, I feel like my mind's gonna get blown with them once I understand them completely.
Well, you mentioned Drush before. Wasn't there something like make files for Drush?
Yes. Yeah, it was called Drush Make, if I remember rightly. And yeah, you would have you define them because Drupal.org was using Drush Make when it was on Drupal 7. Yeah, and you define everything in these Drush make files, and it would Drush download everything. But yeah, it's not as good as yeah, it got just superseded by Composer essentially.
But recipes may be kind of a revival of that because it does similar things, maybe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so recipes is almost like a layer on top of Composer in a way. But yeah, that's an interesting thought and thought of it in that way. Yeah, no, I'm thinking of recipes as like yeah, adding things like news pages and events pages or meta tag. And yeah, that's what SEO tools has done for me. It's configured path auto and meta tag and some other things. But yeah, I can see how it would be really powerful in this situation to work with yeah, ECA or modeler or anything. So yeah, the fact you can provide default configuration with it as well, I think is really key. Yeah, no, that's a definitely area I still need to keep researching and digging into, I think. But yeah, it feels like there's a lot more for me to learn on this one. So does the current version of BPMN need modeler, or is it something that's like today, or is it something that needs to be added in a future version, or something that's already available?
Yeah, our release management looks like this, that we currently have ECA version 2.1, which is the current one, and we have BPMN IO as a version 2 release as well. Those two work together on Drupal 10 and 11, and that is what currently all the users, almost all the users, are actually having on their Drupal sites. The plan moving forward is to introduce modular API together with Drupal 11.2, maybe end of this month. And then ECA will be upgraded to version 3.0, as well as BPMN.io will be upgraded to 3.0 as well. So that is then the new world, ECA and BPMN 3, together with modular API, and that works with the latest Drupal 11 release. And we've actually made a cut that we won't support older versions of Drupal 11.2, because then we don't have, with all the new things that we are introducing now, we don't have to support backwards compatibility with, for example, hook management, attributes, and a few other things. So we can actually just sit on top of the latest APIs, which makes maintenance even more interesting. And I think there is no pressure on users to upgrade to ECA 3 just now. You know, they can if they want to, but then they have to go to Drupal 11.2. But all production sites that probably use older versions of Drupal Core can still continue for the next, let's say, 12 months or so, until I think Drupal 10 is about end of life already next year, maybe. So that's about when I see that the real brand new stuff is going to become mainstream then.
Yeah, just having a look. So the comes to the schedule page, the 11.2 and then 10.5 are both released in on the week of June the 16th. So it's 2 weeks away from now. And then Drupal 10 end of life will reach end of life in mid 2026 when Drupal 12 is released. Because yeah, we're supporting two major versions now. So yeah, but there's no exact data set for that one yet. So yeah, of course Drupal 7's been end of life for a little while now. So but yeah, I imagine there's still quite a lot of 10.3s, 10.4s, probably 10.2s. There's probably still a lot of nines still out there. But yeah. No, it's good to know that this still supported from or still will be supported for a while yet. Yes, release management is a interesting. Yeah, that's maybe the downside having if you've got all these modules that rely on each other and depend on each other, and then you need to release a new version of this one that needs a new version of the other one. Then you need to release new versions of them together and make sure which versions are compatible with which ones. And yeah, that could be a task on its own, just
It is
managing
absolutely.
releases.
And it's not just the Drupal ecosystem that you have to keep in mind for all that. You know, it just relies on Symfony. It has dependencies on PHP versions. So those are the two big ones. I think it even goes into database requirements now with the latest Drupal core. I saw a status message recently that Drupal is now requiring databases that support JSON storage, so they wouldn't fully support otherwise, things like that. So, you know, moving forward, that makes dependency management really a big task, as you said. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I can see as well all the what's ECA is 2.1.8 and there's a 3.0 alpha 3. ECA is yeah similar. It's an alpha 3.0 version, and then modular API has 1.0 alpha 3. So yeah, I wonder if we'll have to find out this like how many modules are actually using semantic versioning now compared to using the old sort of 8.x dash number. Because I imagine the semantic versioning approach makes that a bit easier to sort of highlight when there are breaking changes and things between the modules.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, I'm gonna keep an eye on this one. And yeah, I'm just yeah, really appreciate the diagrams and the terminology reports because we've been discussing Drupalisms and Drupal terminology in here before, and you know, that's only whilst there's obviously efforts to make words simpler, modules like Modular API or Remote Desktop are going to add their own terminologies. So taking that time to add like a glossary defining what the terms are, I think is just a big help for everybody. But yeah, I like to be able to look at a diagram and see what it's doing. Big fan of a flow chart or a diagram. So
Yeah, me too.
it's appreciated. Yeah. Okay, very interesting.
Well,
Cool, yeah.
maybe one other opportunity that I can see and where we are currently experimenting with when we go back to the modeler API is we currently use it to leverage diagramming tools like BPMN to actually create workflows, configure them, and then store them. And also review them. In my experience, that has been a big win with clients where if I show them what their Drupal site does with a diagram like that, lots of them are very excited because they understand what's going on. If I show them
Yes.
PHP code, they are just lost for good reasons. So that is the original purpose of that framework. But what if we wanted to use the same environment to actually demonstrate what happened in complex tasks? Like, for example, using AI in Drupal means there are so many steps going on behind the scenes that it's very hard to actually create log streams that people can go through to understand what was happening with AI and LLM and MCP and all the other tools being involved. And we are currently experimenting with that, like using diagrams to actually show what was going on behind the scenes and allow the user not to make configuration changes, but to click through the steps. And then showing them in that context that they currently selected what has happened at that moment in time, like what was the prompt that the user was sending to the AI agent, which tools were engaged, and what was the response, and why has then the AI agent decided to move left or right or whatever. And even to allow people to then start a replay of that activity starting at a specific point in that recording and modify maybe a prompt so that the next outcome will be different from the previous one. So we
That
could
sounds
actually
cool.
use that for just visualizing complex log recordings. I'm not sure how that turns out, but I guess it will be a major improvement to what we have today.
Yeah, nice. That'd be incredibly useful. Yeah, just to have almost like an interactive audit trail of how a thing has happened, how it's got into the state it was in, like you said. If you're on now, if something happened on step five, it went left instead of right, and then you want to fix something and replay it, that would be, yeah, really, really interesting. Amount of power that would give people would be, yeah, a bit scary in a way, but no, that would be awesome.
It is a bit scary, but other tools, especially in the AI world, are already offering that to users. But we have the dream that, inside of Drupal, making all those tools available. AI on its own already, but also MCP and ECA and lots of other stuff, we probably have the most powerful application framework which is out there today. And it's all open source, it's all free, so people can do whatever they want with it. Our challenge is now to make this so easy to use, like all the other free tools out there in the world. If we can make inside of Drupal should become a very attractive platform for lots of use cases moving forward, not just websites.
Yeah, it's sort of going from just being sort of a content management system content management framework to something else. It's a whole sort of ecosystem inside everything else. Yeah, you mentioned MCP. What can you just define that for me, MCP? I've heard of it, but again, I'm not completely familiar with the term.
The MCP is kind of a, well, it's a protocol which is generic such that every service out there on the internet can declare tools that they have implemented that allow others to actually leverage those tools to get some information out of that other service or to push information into those other services. Like, let's use GitLab as an example. GitLab is a server which allows you to store repositories, create issues, run pipelines, and so on and so forth. Now, there is a proprietary API to GitLab, and you can integrate your Drupal site or your development environment into GitLab by using that API. But that is GitLab specific. Now that GitLab supports MCP as an API, every client that is able to talk to MCP servers can talk to a GitLab server by, in the first step, asking the GitLab servers, what tools do you provide? Just in plain text language. And the response is plain text as well. And then you can decide, oh, I can create a new issue in a repository. Let's do that with that client. Now, the fun part is there are currently 4,500 services out there, all supporting the MCP protocol. Now, if I have a client that is able to leverage those, I can talk to all of those services without knowing anything about their specific APIs. A user doesn't have to do that any longer. Now, combining that with AI, you can tell your AI agent that, look, here are 15 different MCP servers with the forthcoming prompts that I'm coming to you. Just use those 15 MCP servers and try to find out if you can utilize them to solve the task. Now, that makes AI much more powerful because you can talk to all the services that are already there. But within Drupal, we have two sides to that. Drupal as a client, which is step one, can then suddenly talk to all the other services out there. I have seen people integrating Drupal into SAP, into Salesforce, into SharePoint, into lots of other systems, each of which requires a separate module to integrate into those APIs. Doing that with MCP would make those specific integrations redundant. So that is Drupal as a client talking to other services. But the beauty is Drupal can also be an MCP server, and it already is. Like, it can make or expose all the tools that Drupal has inside, like a list of all the nodes that are available. What users are available? Can you create a new node attaching an image to it and give the image an alt text and stuff like that? All of that through the MCP protocol can now be done from the outside with this, which is with a client that lives somewhere else in another application. Now, how can we make tools available inside of Drupal? There are already plugins in the AI module that have been developed to provide specific tools that are AI relevant. But only a couple of weeks ago, we realized, well, what if we could make ECA to expose any workflow that somebody has built with ECA as a tool that could be leveraged by MCP? And that's already available. There is a merge request available currently under review, and that will make that even more powerful. And yet another one where ECA and AI and other tools are just cooperating with each other.
Yeah, I just found, yeah, there's a Drupal project called MCP, which, yeah, says exposing Drupal itself as a server. And then, yeah, Drupal MCP.io, which mentions a few other things, including, yeah, Cursor and Claude, is that how you say that? But yeah, Luke was talking about Cursor in the second episode he came on, and he was talking about using it to develop modules and things. But yeah, if there's a way you can have it sort of connect to the actual thing and have it configure everything for you, then yeah, that would be super powerful. Wow. Yeah, something else to go on my list of things to look into after this. But yeah, MCP, I definitely I'd seen but hadn't taken the time to sort of learn what that was yet. So thank you for that introduction to that. Yeah, I'll put links to all these things in the episode notes as well. Yeah, lots of acronyms: MCP, ECA, and yeah, there's a lot of them. So I'll have to put my own little glossary maybe as well. Wow, lots of things to think about. Anything else in particular you wanted to mention, or as part of this, or part of anything else?
Well, I would like to add you to your comment that there are lots of things that we need to learn. I feel overwhelmed every now and then because, as you say, there are so many, but it also feels the speed in which that all comes to us is just accelerating all the
Yeah.
time, and it's happening so quickly. It's really hard to keep up with all those changes. But at the same time, better than ever before, I feel that those pieces are working together. So you don't have to make a choice. Do I try this one or that one? Because I can't have them both. Those times are almost gone. I think things are really working nicely together. Whereas I heard just on a, was it Dev Days the other week? And somebody said, look, we are really in a unique position in Drupal that over here things are really working together and you don't have to make that choice up front, especially in the AI world where we have an AI module and whichever provider you're going to install, whether that's OpenAI or Anthropic or MSCI or whatever that might be. All your tools are working with each of those providers. In many other frameworks like WordPress and others, there are lots of modules doing AI stuff as well, but they are not working together. You have to have individual ones for every single thing you want to do.
You're locked into a specific implementation. So yeah, this module only works with that provider and that one works with that provider.
Exactly, yeah. And I think we are really lucky in Drupal that, especially FreelyGive, they have worked hard on that early on and somehow managed that most Drupal contributors are actually working within that framework, which is great for all of us.
Yeah, I can't remember which one is that. I remember watching, must be one of the Dries notes, and might have been Barcelona, and it was showing about how to do AI, and it was asking like, can you do a migration from this, or can you do a build content for that? And it was, yeah, it seemed really, again, really powerful. But yeah, the fact you can then switch between different or have multiple ones, I guess, at the same time, because my understanding is different sort of agents would work better for different things. So yeah, the fact you can sort of swap them out for different use cases, or you know, if one sort of becomes quote better, then yeah, you can sort of, because there's that abstraction between them, you can swap them in and out, which I think, yeah, is a really good design decision, architectural decision. Yeah, hopefully gonna get yeah, to talk a bit more about that at some point, because yeah, that's a super interesting area as well. Again, I need to find out more about and learn about. But no, that's a really good point. And yeah, to see how they're all working together, I think, is really clever and really encouraging, I think. Yeah, to see how this, obviously, how does this module work well with that module rather than siloing them all together? How can they all work together? Yeah, that's a really good point. Awesome. Cool. Okay. Is there anything else? Then we'll wrap it up. Yeah, no, you give me again a lot to think about, like you did the first time. But yeah, I'm definitely looking for opportunities to sort of use this. I'm gonna look and see then in, like you say, the 11.2. I'll be looking out and seeing how this is being used and seeing how not just this progresses, but how all they all progress together, as we were just saying. So, where can people find you online, Jürgen, if they want to ask you more questions or find out
Yeah,
more?
my handle is Jürgen Haas, which is JURGENHAAS, and I'm using that on Drupal Slack, on Drupal.org, and most social platforms like Mastodon or Blue Sky.
Brilliant. Thank you for joining me again and taking the time for being on the podcast again. It's been great. And thanks everybody for listening to the Beyond Blocks podcast. I'm Oliver Davis.